Although our presenters try their best to ensure that no hiccups take place in their presentations as they're recorded for Main Menu, sometimes things, well, let's just say, don't happen as we expect them to. Let's listen to an example of what happened to Jonathan Mosen as he demonstrates Tell Me on an old version of Main Menu.
And it's now placing a call to an 0800 number for Tell Me. This one doesn't even ring, it just takes you straight there. So any second now we should be greeted. There we go.
Hello, you're connected to Tell Me. Heard some buzz on that hot new movie? See if Tell Me agrees. Say movies. Say a keyword like horoscopes or restaurants, or stay tuned for all the keywords you can say.
Now, if we just stay silent, it will tell us what we can say, and just when you think
tell
it's finished,
menu.
They come with more. Have a listen to this.
If you know the keyword you want, just say it. Traffic, weather, news, stock quotes, sports, restaurants, movies, horoscopes, blackjack, lottery, soap operas.
But wait, there's more, as they say on the information.
Phone booth, airlines. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
You.
That's all the choices.
Say a keyword.
I'm going to
like
try the blackjack,
because
I'm a sucker for the blackjack. Blackjack.
Welcome to Tell Me Blackjack, where we play for king and country.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
When you're done here, say, Tell Me Menu.
Okay, let's play. Shuffling, you would dealt the Jack of Spades and the Nine of Hearts
for
a total of 19. The dealer is showing the Nine of Diamonds. Say yes for another card or no to stay.
No.
You win. You kick booty. This is better than Monte Carlo. The dealer's total was 17. Would you like to play again?
Yes.
Okay, let's play. Shuffling, you were dealt the Queen of Spades and the Four of Diamonds for a total of 14. The dealer is showing the Ten of Spades. Say yes for another card or no to stay.
Yes.
The dealer just gave you the Jack of Hearts for a total of 24. Oops, sorry, you're a loser. The dealer's total was 13. Would you like to play again?
No.
Thanks for playing Tell Me Blackjack. It's better than Monte Carlo.
Tell Me.
Tell Me Phone Booth, brought to you by AT&T.
Must be my accent.
Of our thanks to you for being an early user of Tell Me, here's a limited time offer. To place a 2-minute call on our dime. Call as often as you want. It's free. Dial the area code and number you want to call. Or just say it.
Now that's interesting. I wonder if I can find a number that I could call here.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Please dial or speak the area code and number you want to call.
I'm just quickly looking something up here. I'll use one of the
to choose another keyword,
news
say
line
Tell Me Menu,
or
press this. Star star.
213-228-7034.
I heard you say 213-229-7034. Is that correct?
No.
Hang on while we connect your free 2-minute call.
I wonder, this is great. I wonder who I'm getting.
Absolutely, positively has to be there for your big meeting. Use driveway.com to store your files.
I wonder who I'm going to get, if anybody. This is great. I think, I mean, part of it is probably that I'm using internet telephony, and part of it's that it's probably an accent thing, I imagine. I imagine it's designed for the American accent, but let's see, I like this random call thing. Sounds like we're going to get an answer phone. No? Well, we'll just wait and see what happens when this time's out here. If you're wondering how I'm able to talk without hearing me, I'm turning the volume right down on the recording controls each time I talk to you and turning them back up again when I want to talk to Tell Me. I wonder if I can say stop to it. Stop. So the old story about the porridge pot, I don't know if they have that story in the US. well, obviously we're just going to have to sit here and let this thing time out. And we'll soon, but the phone booth thing, I could have dialed it in tones, of course, which is no problem when I'm using Delta 3. The phone book thing, phone booth thing, because it's only a 2 minute call, is a bit of a gimmick, I guess, but maybe some people will find it attractive who haven't got into internet telephony yet. You know, if they're just using a standard phone and they're not into Dialpad or Delta 3, this might be something that's a bit novel for them, and good publicity for Telme as it tries to find itself an audience. I'm just going to pause until we get rid of this ringing.
Your party is not answering. Please try your call later. We're sorry, but your call will now be disconnected. 045P. Your party is not answering. Please try your call later. We're sorry, but your call will now be disconnected. 045P.
I'm looking forward to that. I want to get back to Telme. I love those messages.
I'm sorry, but I was unable to complete this call right now. Dial the area code and number you want to call. Or just say it.
213-228-7034.
I heard you say 213-228-7034. Is that correct?
Yes.
Hang on while we connect your free 2 minute call.
Ever had a network crash? Ever lost an important file? Ever spent a day without email? With Centerbeam, technology is there when you need it, always. Visit our website today at www.centerbeam.com.
So you see, you've got the ads there giving publicity.
Welcome to the National Newsline Network.
And now we have got through.
The National Federation of the Blind, with the support and cooperation of the participating newspapers. This is Newsline Los Angeles, sponsored by the Los Angeles Public Library.
On this, the 5th anniversary of Main Menu, we're now going to pay tribute to some frequent people that did reviews on Main Menu. Let's get started by listening to part of a review done by Scott Rakowski.
Good morning to all Main Menu listeners. This is Scott Rakowski with a fine review this week on some cordless headphones. These headphones complement the Logitech cordless keyboard. You don't have to have a Logitech cordless keyboard to use these headphones, but the combination of the cordless headphones and the keyboard are a great combination indeed. These cordless headphones are made by Optimus. The headphones actually are RF, so they're not infrared line of sight. And I think the range from memory is about 30 meters. Not sure what that is in feet. Basically, the unit comprises of a pair of headphones that are quite comfortable to wear. They do get a little bit heavy after a while, but that's not too bad. So I'm not sure how some people may go with them, but they are quite heavy. I think there's a couple of models you can buy, actually, in the States. I think there's a light pair and a heavy pair or something. I can't exactly remember the details about the two different models, but Radio Shack stock them both. Now, with these headphones, they have rechargeable batteries in them, and they're using NiCad batteries in the headphones. And on the pair I have, you can actually take out the rechargeable batteries and put in your own if you want. So you could put in, I think it's the 2 AA's it uses, you could put your own just normal alkaline in there if you like, or you can use the rechargeable batteries that come with the headphones. These headphones are really, really good. They've got excellent quality compared to cheaper sets that I've seen. Now, with these particular cordless headphones, you've got two units. You've got the transmitter unit, which is like a, it just sits on the table. It's like a base, it's like a square kind of unit. And on the unit itself, you've got a few controls. And you've got your connector where you plug in your power cable. Now, the good thing I like about the headphones, it gives good bass performance, really great sound, especially if you hook it up to your PC and have a cable connection or a DSL connection and listen to some of the fine stations on, say, DiscJockey.com, any of the other fine radio listening services there are. They are stereo headphones, and they use RF, radio frequency, so you can transmit through walls, that sort of thing. This is Scott Rutkowski for acbradio.org.
Long-time Main Menu listeners will already know who's coming up next as we pay tribute to Don Coco, or DJ C as many of us know him by, from Sacramento, California. Take it away, Don.
Adware is a tool that is for getting rid of what's called spyware on your machine. For a in-depth article on spyware, I would refer you to www.grc.com. That is Steve Gibson's very excellent site. I would suggest you look there. Or www.langa.com. That's Fred Langa's excellent site. Or a third source, of course, is the Adware homepage itself. www.lavasoft, that's lavasoft.de. That's lavasoft.de. Now, Adware is up to version 6, and I've been using it for quite a while. I've used the version 5, of course, and they've come out with version 6. Basically, what it does, it scans your computer for what's called quote-unquote spyware. This is companies, when you're surfing the web, companies tend to put stuff on your computer that maybe you don't want. They just, they put cookies, they put junk files, they put images. They're called junk files. And it's amazing how much of this stuff accumulates. Anyway, Adware is one of the tools out there that will detect and get rid of this spyware. There are other tools as well, such as a tool called SpyBot or several others. Root Blaster, for example. Anyway, these different tools will basically do sort of similar work, but they're all slightly different. Adware is not the most speech-friendly, but it does work, and basically to get it to work is pretty simple. Let's start it up. Let's see if we can show you how that works. Let's go to the Programs group, and we're going to locate it first. I'm looking for it here. LavaSoft Adware 6. There it is. Hit return there. And
user manual.
Let's see, we have a user manual.
Adware 6.
That's what we have.
A equals Adware 6. Location C program.
We have Adware 6. And I should tell you that they do make Adware in several flavors. They have a professional version, which you can buy. They have a plus version, which I assume also you have to buy. And then they have the free version, which I'm running, which runs just fine. So they have different versions that, you know, you can rely on. They have just recently come out with a 6 version. Actually, it was done within the past couple of months. And it does seem to work reasonably well with, again, some modifications. Again, I'd like to say I'm using Window Ice here, so whatever modifications I've made are done with Window Ice.
This next article comes to us courtesy of Dean Martineau of Sound Computing Magazine, and you can find out more about the magazine by visiting the website at www.sound-computing.com.
Text selection in Word made easier. I have for a long time been marginally frustrated with the Windows text selection process. It's certainly doable. I think every user needs to know how to do it and to do it well, and I certainly do. But it has its limitations. It's kind of constricting. I liked the good old days, and in many ways the good old days weren't all that good, but this is one way in which they were. Under DOS, like for example in WordPerfect, you could set a mark in a file, then you could roam about, do whatever you were going to do, figure out exactly what you wanted to select, and when the time came you could then block the text. I think that's what we called it back then. Well, now, thanks to a friend who wrote a little code for a Word macro that I'm going to give everybody, we can accomplish the same thing in Word. Any version, beginning with Word 97 on up to Word XP. Those of you who are subscribers to Brian Hartgen's configuration service have this feature already, but it's something that I'm not sure every version of Word worked with that service. In any case, I was able to make it available in this manner because I think it's going to help everybody out. Those of you listening to this article in Sound Computing, and some may be listening to it on Main Menu, you will find out, the Sound Computing listeners, that I've done some work in NoteTab along these lines, as well as other lines, with the what's called their clip language in NoteTab, and you will be interested in knowing, perhaps, that these processes are much easier to do in NoteTab. I was able to almost figure out how to do it myself with a little help from somebody on the NoteTab clip writing mailing list, whereas the resulting VBA code that you're going to use if you choose to make these macros in Word, I could not have figured out how to do on my own at all. I sort of understand what's happening, but I couldn't replicate it. However, we don't have to replicate it. All we have to do is copy and paste, and I'll take you through the steps of creating the macro if you want to. First, I'm going to show you exactly how this works when the macro is in place. And then if you like it, you can go ahead and set it up for yourself in your version of Word on your own computer. But I personally believe this makes word processing and different tasks related for use with Word, especially extracting sections of documents, a whole lot easier.
Next, we're going to hear from John Mattioli. John Mattioli did a number of presentations on Main Menu, but most notably, he did a multi-part series on Quicken 2000. If you have not heard, John Mattioli is no longer with us, but his legend will live on within the Main Menu archives. Here's John Mattioli.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bidi-bidi-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I...
Welcome to the inaugural edition of Making Sense of Shabbat. This is John Mattioli. For the next several weeks, I'll be discussing the personal financial package, Quicken Deluxe 2000.
There's a lot of reasons that people buy personal computers these days, and probably the top one is internet applications such as email. In the email market, of course, you've got Eudora, you've got Outlook, you've got any number of applications, including Lotus Notes, if you're not terribly worried about accessibility. In the word processing market, which perhaps is the number two reason, the pickings are a little bit slimmer. Word is certainly the most popular, but there's still a lot of WordPerfect users out there, and it's a very reasonable application. The personal finance market, however, which is probably the number three reason people buy computers, has only one reigning king, and that's Quicken. Quicken is developed and sold by Intuit, which is a company that has never been particularly interested in accessibility. You might very well ask why you should be interested in a program developed by a company that has never been interested in accessibility, and that certainly is a reasonable question to ask. Blind people for a long time have been very concerned about access to Quicken, and I hope to show that Quicken actually can be accessed by a blind user.
If I were a wealthy man.
Making sense of your dollars, this is John Mattioli on ACB Radio.
A couple of years ago on Main Menu, we devoted a two-hour program to dueling screen readers, that being JAWS for Windows and WindowEyes. At the beginning of this program, we brought on a panel of experts to talk about their opinion about the two screen readers. Let's take you back to that presentation now and let you hear them talk about, if resources were not an issue, would our panel of experts want to own both screen readers?
I wonder if any of you have a view on whether, in fact, you really need both screen readers these days, if you can possibly manage it.
Actually, I would do that if price is not a real issue. The fact is, they probably both have their places where they shine, and that's the way I would have the best of both worlds. I really, really value the programmability of JAWS. I have come up with some rather nice solutions to specific application problems where I've been able to actually make the application do more than it itself can do. I've been able to make the screen reader do more than it was intended to do just because of that programmability. And I wouldn't have that with WindowEyes for the extra couple $100. I get it. And my real goal is having good, clean, quick, reliable access to whatever application it is that I'm trying to run. And I would love to have both of them in my bag.
Anyone else?
Well, I tend to recommend if somebody has the ability to do it, even if they just have a demo of screen readers they can't afford to buy, that in itself can be pretty handy, maybe for checking out a new program, for doing something in a program. Perhaps you don't need a lot of access to tables right now in Office. You can get along with WindowEyes access, but you need to use a table from time to time. You run the JAWS demo for 40 minutes at that point, and I think it's unfortunate. We always say that blind people need to know more about their computers than other people, and I think this is the case. I think that it's the most competent users I know, most of them have a good knowledge of both screen readers.
Kathy Ann, you had something on that.
Yeah, I think if you can afford it, go for it, like the others have said. But I think, too, if you are someone who has specific needs in computing, you might want to investigate the two demos, find out which works best for you, and really learn one of the applications. If you have a solid foundation in Windows, then pretty much you can access anything you want with the help of people like Jim and Brian out there making scripts for JAWS and set files for WindowEyes. Really, the applications are starting to even the playing field. So if you are one who has to invest in just one, then I suggest investigating the possibilities. But if you've got the money to throw away and you want to try out both of them, then by all means, go for it.
Can we talk about the demos for a second? The JAWS timed evaluation is a 60-day type thing from the day you install it. You can pick it up and use it all day. And at the time I got my last WindowEyes demo, it was 30 minutes and then you have to reboot. Is it still that way?
Well, I think that there are two versions of the JAWS demo. There's one that actually does run for about 30 or 40 minutes. And there's also the timed evaluation one,
right,
which costs £50 over here in the UK.
Jeez.
You can get that for 60 days, I think it actually runs for. I think you're right. But you can use that for continuous use. And that does give you a real feel for how the product works, and then you can decide whether you want to invest the rest of the money in the product. And if I recall correctly, that £60 or whatever the equivalent in dollars is,
$39.95 in the US.
Is it?
Uh-huh.
Right. That is deducted from the purchase price, I believe.
That's right. Yes.
Talking Communities has donated iVocalize technology to acbradio.org. You can utilize this technology on ourplace.acbradio.org. Each week you'll hear Tuesday topics, and on occasion you'll hear topics on main menu using the iVocalize technology. Let's listen in on one such moment where we talked about the file sharing networks and whether or not our listeners thought they were legal or not.
The show that we're doing tonight is on file sharing. We want to get your thoughts, get your ideas. Quite the hot topic right now, and we want to find out what you think, because it is Mic Talk where you pick up the mic and talk, and we want to give you a chance to do that.
Okay, with a few people in the room, I will ask the first question. Do any of you use any tools specifically for the purpose of exchanging music, software, TV shows, anything like that? Do any of you use tools like that? And feel free to elaborate on that. Not specific how-tos, but anything that you use for the acquisition of material that some might consider illegal. Any comments from anyone in the room?
Hello, this is Monty from California. I primarily use WinMX and Kazaa Lite.
Are any of you concerned or have any feeling specifically about the 261 lawsuits that were filed this past week against a variety of individuals who were said to be sharing at least 1,000 songs each? Did any of you feel perhaps anger or fear or indifference, or I'll worry about that if it's me, or would any of you change your plans because someone you know was cited for that? Any thoughts on this most recent action and maybe the 12-year-old girl that some feel was singled out? Any comments on that that took place this week?
I myself, first of all, I use the usual stuff, the WinMX and the Kazaa and the newsreader now. I use the X News. You just go up on the news groups and get what you want. It's a lot faster. And anyway, I personally think it's probably a good idea to start looking for more legitimate places to get music, because it's just going to get worse as time goes on. But right now they're going to go after where the masses are, which the masses are. What they're doing is they're using these Kazaa and peer-to-peer networks. And I was in kind of a unique situation that I feel personally, I went to a website and to buy the track, and they even had the nerve to show us the track name and that it was there and all that good stuff. Well, it turns out I wasn't able to download it. I wasn't able to get the legitimate track because it wasn't, for some odd reason, it wasn't there. I went to buymusic.com, one of their solutions. Wasn't able to download it and purchase it. I wound up having to say, well, then I'm going to go look elsewhere. And it was just by luck that I got the song I wanted. My thought is, well, I'll just get in there and get what's for me and leave. I think we can attribute a lot of these suits to people having a lack of knowledge of what happens when they actually install the file sharing client, and that it does actually by default go out and share all your directories and all that good stuff. So anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, well, thanks for that insight. Now, when you say legitimate services, you mean ones where you actually pay, or you mean just using alternatives to whatever's big at the time? Because they shut down Napster, millions of people overnight went to a new technology. You shut down Kazaa, which supposedly is 60 million of a total of 100 million people known to be trading files. So when you say legitimate, you mean sites like Rhapsody, but yet it's not accessible for a blind person? Or do you just mean other tools like news groups, private FTP? What do you mean by legitimate?
I probably should clarify that. When I say legitimate, I mean a place that's sanctioned by the recording industry, such as buymusic.com, which is accessible, Rhapsody, which is, for a low-vision person, it's pretty good, but for someone who is not a low-vision user, it can be a little bit more difficult. They need to make an effort to maybe make that more accessible so that folks won't be so tempted to file trade.
Well, everyone, we are almost done with the retrospective show for Main Menu's 5th birthday. I want to thank all of you for listening this evening, but don't forget that Main Menu is your technology program. Get involved and be a part of it. For some final comments, let's hear again from ACB Radio's director, Dave Williams.
Thank you very much for your company over the last 2 hours. And much a part of Main Menu history, beside the singing deck talks, the screen reader comparisons, and the demonstrations of accessible games, has been the Main Menu theme tune. It goes something like this.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
After careful consideration and consultation, we concluded that as Main Menu is a program about change, that after 5 years that we felt that perhaps it's about time the Main Menu theme itself was given a rest. Not completely. Last week I spoke with Greg Brighton, and after a little bit of toing and throwing, we came up with a new theme for Main Menu, and this is it.
M-A-I-N-M-E-N-U.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Main Menu.
Until next week, I'm Dave Williams. Bye for now.